Well, I apologize to you. It is just flat-out human error. There's a little story, which we had manual thermostats, and it was hard to consistently get somebody to come over and turn the thermostat on. So we got these new electronic ones that you can hook up to the internet, and then it was going bad, and that wasn't working. So, okay, we'll get rid of that one, and we'll buy a new one. So we installed a new one, and the new one was coming on when it wasn't supposed to. And it was coming on. I had come here in the middle of the day. I put brought these flowers here back a few days ago, and the heat was on in the building. And it's like a, Thursday afternoon or something, some middle of the day in the week. You know, it's not supposed to have heat in the building. I go, man, what's wrong? And the thermostat was set low, and the heat was on. And you know what? If we run heat in this building all the time, it'll be tens of thousands of dollars in fuel oil to keep this building warm. So we just can't afford to let the heat run all the time. So we come up with this great plan. Well, we'll just use it as a remote, and we'll turn it on when we need to, and we'll turn it off when we need to. Well, the problem with that is you got to remember to turn it on. It's just human error and the lack of finding a good thermostat. But we're going to work on it. Amen. So please forgive us. We'll try to do better in the future. Now, we do have folding chairs. If you want to sit right in front of I would not blame you. If you wanted to come or sit way in the back and the past back, beyond the last row and sit in front of a radiator with a folding chair, you're welcome to do that. Or sit up front if you want to get a front row seat. Amen. I'm sorry. Anyway, God is still good. God is still good. Amen. Even if you got to keep your coat on. Matthew chapter 2 is where I'd like to turn your attention. Amen. Oh, I do have a good report. I submitted my work releases a little while ago, and it got reviewed, got approved, and I'm going back to work tomorrow morning. So praise the Lord. I'm happy about that. I'd like to be retired also, but I think I might as well tell the truth, right? Anyway, praise the Lord. God is still good. Amen. Even with all the life stuff that goes on, God is still good. Matthew chapter 2, let me begin to read there, verse number 9. From the King James Version, of course, that's what I like. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Somebody say, another way. Another way. Amen. My topic today is they went home another way. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, you're altogether worthy, Lord. I know, God, that you're able. And Lord, I thank you for all that you've done, all the greatness, Lord, that you have shown us in your word. And Lord, that you have even done for us in our own lives. And the greatness, Lord, of your name. Lord, I pray your will, Lord, even for this service. I pray that you would help us, God, to comprehend what the word, what the Bible has to say. And Lord, I ask your will in our lives. And thank you, Lord, for your favor. We ask it even now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Oh, it's been said so many times before that no one has ever encountered Jesus and gone home the same way that they came. Amen. If you have a genuine encounter with God, that encounter changes things. Amen. It's different after that encounter with God. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There is no other thing on earth that can change your life like a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ. Amen. When you feel His presence and you are drawn by the glory of God, and when God touches and changes, you have an encounter like Acts 2:38. You have an encounter that changes your life. You repent, get baptized, are filled with the Holy Ghost. When God does a miracle, no, each of those things are miracles, by the way. When God heals your body, that's a miracle. When God changes your mind, that can be a miracle. When God saves your soul, that is certainly a miracle. It's life changing. You truly do become a new creature. Amen. God molds us and makes us to be different than what we were before. Amen. In the Bible, the blind man, he didn't even know who Jesus was. But once he was in his presence, once that he had an encounter with him, changed everything. Amen. John chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. They're trying to convince him to say something bad against Jesus. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I don't know about the other part what you're talking about, but I know what God did for me. Amen. Amen. You know, when you have a genuine experience with Jesus, I wish everybody could know the Jesus that I know. I wish everybody could know how good God is, like I know how good God is. Oh, man, where would you ever begin to talk about all of the goodness that God has done in my life? Amen. There's hundreds and perhaps thousands of things that I could tell you of how God has been good to me. Healed my body and helped my family and blessed my friends and helped our church. And God did miracles upon miracles. The blind man knew that Jesus changed him. He was blind and now he could see. See, once you have been in the presence of Jesus, you will never be the same again. Amen. In my mind, it's just inconceivable to going back to being an unbeliever. That's just not possible. I will forever believe that Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. Amen. There's nothing anybody could say or do to convince me otherwise, because I know Jesus is the Almighty God. Amen. He changed me. Amen. Once you have been in His presence, you're never the same again. You can run from him. Many of us did. As a young man, I did. Some of you probably did too. Had an experience with God, then you got stupid and you went out in the world. Well, if you got any sense at all, you're going to come back to Jesus Christ. Amen. The backsliders are prayed for every single service in this church. Amen. Every single time we gather together, amen, we're praying that God would help people. That God would bless people. Amen. You can run from him, but you cannot hide. Once you've had an experience with God, once you understand who he is, once you know about Jesus, you know. Amen. You understand there is a real God. It's not make-believe. It's not somebody's storybook. It is a genuine historical account. The Bible records what Jesus did. Amen. Amen. It's an account. Amen. You know, people can have tried to explain the experience away, perhaps with philosophy. But that philosophy is always going to come up short of being a full argument. Amen. You cannot philosophize. You can't use philosophy to negate what I know God has done in my life. Amen. God healed my back. That was a miracle from God. Amen. God has healed people in this church. Amen. You can't use philosophy to bring that away. No, he is truly the great physician. Amen. It's not philosophy. It's fact. You can attempt to replace your experience with religion. I don't even like the word religion. What religion are you? I don't even want to answer. I am Jesus' name, though. I do believe in Jesus. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in religion, but I do have full confidence in Jesus. Amen. I have full confidence that he is the Almighty God. Amen. I know it from the bottom of me to the top of me and everywhere in between. I know that Jesus is real. Amen. So maybe religion can't explain it. Religion is messed up. You're not going to increase the presence of God by putting smoke in the air. That was just not a good experience. You're not going to increase the presence of God by carrying a great big giant cross. That's just not going to bring the presence of God. You can have rituals or ceremonies or, you know, fancy robes and garments, and you can have all the fancy decorations you want, and that is not going to increase the presence of God. You want to know how to increase the presence of God? Open up your heart. Talk to the Lord. Pray. Give him praise. Worship him. Amen. Worship God. From way down deep inside. Worship God. Amen. And you will increase the presence of God in your life. You know, there could be someone sitting right in the same pew right next to you. And you could be moving in the Holy Ghost. And it's possible for that person to refuse the presence of God. Amen. It's up to you if you want to feel God's presence. You got to open up your heart. You got to worship him, magnify him. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, you cannot replace an experience with God with religion. And we shouldn't even try. But we should have an experience with God. Amen. Some people may even attempt to drown their feelings in drink, or may end up in a stupor. But you know what? When I was backslid, I remember feeling that I am the only person in here, looking all around a room full of people. I'm the only person in this building who understands who God is. And I was a backslid Pentecostal. Oh, man. Shortly after that, I was back in church. I was back serving God. I was back living for the Lord. Amen. You can't cover this up. You can't hide this. You can't get away from it. I've never been able to escape it. Even when you tried, you can't escape this. Amen. Once you know who Jesus is, it's inescapable. Amen. Praise the Lord. Once you have been in the presence of Jesus, you will never be the same again. Amen. You can run from Him. Many people do. But you cannot hide. Amen. The leper. A leper in the Bible. He worshiped Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40, and starting at verse number 40, Mark chapter 1. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Amen. Ryan, would you do me a favor? Go out in the back and get a few folding chairs and bring them in and put them by the radiators, please. Just, if we got one, we may have two. Sorry about that. If you want to be warmed up, you can sit by a radiator. I, again, apologize. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The leper knew that Jesus was able to heal him. Lord, if you want to, you can do it. I know you can do it, God. You get the feeling of what this leper... He states here his confidence in Jesus Christ. Verse 41, And Jesus, moved with compassion, if you will come to God in a sincere heart and you have confidence and faith in God, that will move God. He will have compassion on your need. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately, someone say immediately, immediately, the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. It was a miracle. He had a miracle from God. I'm not talking about going through 3 years of therapy. No, I'm not talking about going through surgery and recovery. I'm talking about God healed him right then. Immediately, Scripture says. Right now. We serve a right now God. Hallelujah. I tell you, there, He is, has been, was then here recorded in Scripture, and He is now a right now God. He's a this service God. Amen. Amen. You know, there is something about our approach to God that is so very vitally important. It's not in the fancy stuff. It's not in the outward appearance. But if you have a genuinely repentant heart, and you will cry out to God, if you will ask Him to help you, believing that He is able to help you, knowing that He will help you, God will have compassion on you. Like it says in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, there's a way to approach God. Hallowed be thy name. Praise Him, worship Him, magnify Him. You're going to get God's attention. Amen. When you approach God right. Amen. It's not in the fancy show. It's not in no big or little crosses. It's not in the garments that you wear. It's not in the things that you do. It's not in the ceremony that's performed. None of that inspires God. None of that God is even interested in. But if you will seek Him, if you will pray unto Him, if you will ask Him, believing, having faith, that God will have compassion on. Amen. Like the Lord's Prayer, like Abel, who brought the right kind of sacrifice. Just being obedient. Just be obedient to the Word. Just follow what the Bible says. And that God will honor. God honors His Word. I have known, I don't want to just say an individual, but I've known several people over the years of ministry that I've taken part in, who they struggled, let's just be, I'm not going to use names, but they struggled spiritually. Struggled spiritually when they were a young person. They struggled spiritually when they became an adult. When that troubled person had children, the children struggled spiritually, just like the parents did. And I noticed that the indication was that the children were so much like the parents. It is absolutely incredible how much a 3-year-old can observe. Oh my goodness. So very observant. Recognized every little change. Every word that is spoken. They're so observant. They're like sponges soaking in all of the things of life. But your kids are going to soak up what you are giving out. So, man, we need to give them things of God. We need to show them how to worship God. I believe young boys need to see their daddy with tears in his eyes worshiping God. I believe a little girl needs to see their mama trusting and praising and worshiping God. Giving them an example on how to find God. Amen. In this example, the parents struggled, the kids struggled. And then this was mentioned, that their kids did not fit in with the other church kids because the church kids, get this, are not real. And I struggle with that. And then you see, my impression was that what this person was referring to as real was really nonconformity. In other words, that individual who perceived himself as real, I'm real and they're not. The person having trouble with God is real, and the person who is spiritually with God is not real, quote unquote. Wait now, hold on. That individual perceived it that way. That everyone else was phony. Because he was using his own non-conforming, rebellious attitude as that which is real. I tell you, my God is real. Jesus is real. My God does change people. My God does save souls. He is the great physician, the healer. He is the mighty God, the Holy One. That, my friend, is real. It's real. Oh. To me, that guy criticizing the Christian is the one that is not real. Delusional. He's believing a lie. My God is real. I know He's real. You see, he perceived submission to authority as somehow below him. You know, I can't help but notice that the ones who are touched by Jesus are those who will humble themselves in prayer and in worship and in magnifying God. Those are the ones that have a relationship with Jesus. They are the ones that have an experience with God. They are the ones that have a relationship that they can hold on to, that they know is real, that God helps them. Praise the Lord. Jesus, when you are touched by Jesus, it's a humbling experience. Amen. God is so merciful to me. Amen. Never forget, Jesus Christ is the Almighty God, and we are flesh. Amen. You see, Jesus healed a man. In fact, Jesus healed lots of people. Jesus may have healed you. Mark this example in Mark chapter 1, verse 41 and 42. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Just read that verse again. We read it before, but for emphasis and bringing it back to our remembrance, this guy had a miracle in a moment. This leper came face to face with God manifested in flesh. He had an experience with God. Just one touch changed his life forever. He had the faith, and Jesus had the power. Amen. That combination resulted in the healing touch that he so desperately needed. Could you just for a moment use your imagination and think about what if you were a leper in the time of the writing of the Bible? They didn't have a cure back then. I've heard they got a cure for it now, but they get treatments for it now. But then there was no treatment even for leprosy. See, this guy had a miracle. He went home a different way than he came. He was different when he went home than when he came. You see, one can only imagine the joy of his returning home that day. Just use your imagination. And how do you think that guy felt when he was on his way home? Perhaps this guy had a wife. Maybe he had children that because of the leprosy, he was forcefully separated from them. His loved ones, he wasn't able to go home or to hug and cuddle them and embrace them and love them and help them. He was unable to because of his condition. You see, that was different now. As a leper, his wife maybe could bring him food and leave it off at a distance. But there was no hugs, no kisses. There was no holding each other close, no sharing intimacy with one another. All of that was gone because of the leprosy. You see, sin, sickness, disease can tear you apart, can wreck your life, can make it hard to live, such as his case. You see, there could only be, while he was in that state of leprosy, there had to be maintained a distance between him and his loved ones. He was required by law to declare to everyone that approached, "I'm unclean. Stay away." How embarrassing, how terrible, how awful it must have been to be in that condition. His children would have been growing up unable to be close to their father. The children would bear the shame of knowing that their father was unclean, a leper. But that morning would be different. After a quick stop at the temple and confirmation from the priest that he was clean, see, that was a requirement. You had to go see the priest. He could do the inspection and declare you clean when you were healed. After that, seeing the priest, he was able to go home. Once again, he would be able to provide for his family. Once again, he would be able to hold and embrace his loved ones that he loved so dearly. Once again, the children would be able to have their father in the home. I tell you, everything is different. The whole life is different. He would never be the same again after being in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I tell you, this same example is still available for people's lives today. Amen. People can come in one way and go home another way. It can be different in a day, right now. Maybe you might have a problem right now, even while I'm speaking, even while I'm using this biblical example. There may be something that is in this house today that God can change your situation now. He's a right now God. Man, whoo! Can you imagine what it was like to be that man? Whoo! Oh! How glorious, how wonderful, how marvelous! Try to tell that man God's not real. He knows God is real. He knows God is real. Psalm 16, verse 11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I tell you, he could feel that. He could say that with emotion that day. Amen. So many examples in the Bible. The example of a demoniac. You see, he was a man in distress. There's people in distress in our world today. They really do have serious problems. Serious problems. Luke chapter 8, beginning to read there at verse number 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. This guy had serious problems. Verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. Notice the approach. And with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." This guy had serious problems. Verse 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Jesus had just commanded the unclean spirit to come out, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. He had serious problems. And he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. This guy lived in the tombs, was considered unclean. You see, the dead seek the dead. The troubled want to hang out with the troubled. Those in distress may be in distress because of where they're hanging out. Try hanging out with Jesus. He is our ever-present help. There is a place that you can get help. Amen. His name is Jesus. Amen. He was lawless. He was restless. He suffered from self-inflicted wounds. When Jesus stepped onto the shore that day where that demoniac was, three worlds met. The world of fear and darkness. That of human experiences. The world of darkness. And the world of omnipotence. The Almighty God arrived. This guy went home a different way. You see, all three worlds understood when Jesus arrived. The world of fear and distress recognized the hand of deliverance. Jesus, thou Son of God Most High, he recognized who Jesus is. It's time that we recognize who Jesus is. You got to give God the credit that he is due. Amen. He is worthy. Amen. The world of darkness recognized the omnipotent God within Jesus. Satan knew that he could never match the power of the omnipotent God. Amen. Consider the power and authority of Jesus. I tell you, my God is able. You are not so big that your problem is more than God can handle. None of us are that big. My God is bigger than all of your problems. My God is bigger than all of your fears. Amen. My God, Jesus, is able. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, begin to read at verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Why don't you just lift up your hands and love God with me, would you? Lord, I love you. I thank you. I praise you, Jesus. You're worthy and wonderful. Thank you, Lord, my God. I adore you. I praise you. I worship you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. You're worthy, O God. I worship you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Jesus made this statement in Luke 10, verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Further, he declared in Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, get this now, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So, if Jesus has all power, nobody else has got his power. Amen. He is the only one. The only God there is. There is no other God. Amen. How about this example where a man was delivered? He was healed. You can rest assured that this man went home another way. He was different when he went home than when he came. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, the world, if you'll let it, will drive you crazy. Crazy with fear, crazy with worry, crazy, just drive you crazy. But if you will trust God, this crazy world won't get to you. Amen. Now, I want to be very careful not to let it be misconstrued or to equate demon possession with all forms of mental illness. But I do believe that many people are oppressed by the devil. Amen. I do not believe that fear and many forms of depression... I do believe that fear and many forms of depression, I said that wrong, have their roots in spiritual problems. Amen. If we seek Jesus first, He'll help us in all these things. Amen. If you have been one who lives with fear or is bound by the chains of darkness or even of depression, I tell you what, you can go home differently today than when you came in at 7 o'clock. You can leave your anger and hatred at an altar. Amen. You know, we only hurt ourselves when we carry anger or hatred. You're not hurting the other person. You're hurting you. Jesus can heal you today. Amen. You can leave your fear at the foot of the cross and walk away with a heart that is filled with faith in God. The example of an adulterous woman in the Bible. You see, that story, yes, has this woman, but there are very cruel accusers in this story. The woman was dragged to where Jesus was by her cruel accusers. John chapter 8, beginning to read at verse number 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. They caught her in sin. You know, there's a lot of people in our world today guilty of sin. And your sin is not hidden from God. Verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Verse 6, this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now I've heard different things from different preachers. Now the Bible doesn't say what he wrote on the ground. But I've heard different preachers say different things of what he might have wrote on the ground. I'm not even speculating what he wrote. But all I can tell you is everybody around there, see ya. The goal of a godly man is never to see someone fail or fall or sin. That's never, ever our objective. These men look much more like devils than religious leaders. Their first goal was to tempt Jesus. Their second goal was to accuse the woman. They acted very much like the enemy of our souls. Revelation 12, verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. You know, we don't need to practice accusing people. We need to bring people to Jesus. Amen. See, maybe your thoughts accuse you day and night. Your flesh remembers what you did or what you do. Or Satan torments you with remembering sinful behavior. You cannot change what you did before. But you can come to God right now. Amen. We serve a loving and a faithful God who is able to forgive your sin. Amen. He is able to change your life. Amen. You can go home a different way than you came today. Satan wants to remind you about the law of God, how bad of a sinner you are, but he never suggests that you might experience forgiveness. You know, Jesus wants to forgive us. You don't have to live that way. You can go home another way. Amen. You can be different today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody ever heard of a pardon? Pardon as if that crime had never been committed and can never be brought up against you ever again. It's like it is erased. Fortunately for that woman, she had been brought into the very presence of the same one that the Magi worshipped 30 years before when Jesus was born. Fortunately for that woman, she was brought before the one who knows all things. And yes, That includes her sin. Jesus knew what happened. But fortunately for that woman, they brought her before the one who truly had the power to pardon and forgive. It's like it never happened. Amen. When you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and sins are remitted. You see that word right there? For the remission of sins. That means God paid in full. Paid for it. Like a pardon. It's like that sin never existed. Now, we as human beings, we got a mind that remembers. You remember what you did. But in the sight of God, that never happened. That's kind of hard to even comprehend, isn't it? But that's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus does. Amen. John chapter 8, continuing to read, I read verse 6 before. Let me read it again. I'm going to read down a little more. This said they, tempting him that they might have to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Let me continue, verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. There he goes again. And they that heard it, which are being convinced by their own conscience, And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. It's all the accusers, one by one, turned around, left, and now it's just her, it's just Jesus, just the two of them left. Verse number 10, when Jesus had lifted him up, he saw none but the woman and said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. Nobody else here. Nobody else here. No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Now Jesus knew of her sin. But he chose not to condemn her. He said, go and sin no more. She went home another way. She was different from that encounter with God. It changed her. Amen. Go and sin no more. Jesus made it so simple. She went home a different way than she came. She came being dragged by evil captors and accusers. She went home on her own volition, clean and a forgiven woman, pardoned of sin. Amen. Would you stand with me? I'm closing right here. In Monday night prayer, it was a special time in prayer on Monday night. You know, there wasn't an overflow crowd, but it was just the wonderful presence of the Lord. And I was just praying for people that would come into our church. people that have come in our church, people that are in our church. You see, Jesus has made all of the difference in the world. I pray that people would come and know who Jesus is. That He would save their souls, that He would change their lives, that He would solve their problem. I tell you, Jesus is the problem solver. Amen. You can go home a different way than you came. If you need healing, Jesus Christ is the healer. If you have lived a life of mental torment, you can have peace today before you go to bed tonight. Right now, you can have peace that goes beyond your own understanding. If you know there is sin in your life, you can repent today and be changed forever. Simply begin by bowing your head and worshiping God. Let's sing one song together. Would you, in closing, would you join me? Would you worship God with me for just